Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the songs of Zion, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, sometimes we look at how good you are to us here, and then we can truly only imagine how much better it's going to be face to face with our Savior. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that as we approach this text today, that you will reveal yourself in a mighty way, dear Heavenly Father, that this text might be edifying to all, glorifying to you, and something that will cause men and women and children to look to our Savior and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Today's Veterans Day. We celebrate Veterans Day. And so I was asking the Lord, ushers, you may be seated because it's kind of a lengthy intro. I was asking the Lord, what can I present for our military men and women who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder? They call it PTSD. And you know, everybody seems to be at a loss right now for how do we deal with it? What do we do to deal with this very, very serious situation? It's a very terrible, very real condition. And the doctors seem to have no solution. No solution, y'all. Every day, every other day, you read about somebody who's gone off and he's done something horrible to his family, to the public, to whatever. And then they just chalk it up as PTSD. And I'm like, Lord, this... In 2 Corinthians, you can write this down, but you don't. Just listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He's saying there should be enough here and enough in us, enough teaching, enough sanctification. There is the answers to life are here, y'all. You don't just say to people here, take more pills and, hey, deal with it. That's not working. So since God promises that this book contains all the answers for everything pertaining to this life and beyond, then either that's true or God's a liar. And the Bible says, let every man be a liar. And God is telling the truth. So it would behoove us as a congregation, because all of us have some family members, some friends, somebody somewhere who's dealing with this situation. Let me go on here. I submit to you that the Bible does address this issue with the same simplicity and truth that it does all issues pertaining to how to live this life and beyond. PTSD appears to be a condition in which not only do people feel very alone and depressed, but even worse yet, they feel forgotten and forsaken by God. I do not claim that hearing this text will give you a total delivery from this condition, but I do know, based on the Word of God, that if you will read, heed, and follow through on what this text teaches, God will bless you, and you will make a major stride on the road to recovery. Amen. Now, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 77. The book of Psalm, chapter 77. The book of Psalm, chapter 77. And I will read through the entire text. And it reads in the King James Bible, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy work, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Verse 16. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, our key verse, I'm going to take you back to the key verse. Verse 1 is the key verse. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Let's talk about God is listening for your cry. God is listening for your cry. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this very first verse messed me up. God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, the one who keeps all things going, who keeps the sun in the sky, the moon in the sky, the wind blowing, breath in everybody's body, healing, raising from God. The psalmist said, I cried unto God with my voice. Unto God with my voice, not your voice. Not Moses calling, because when Moses called, we know God, pick up the phone. Okay? Oh, that's Joshua. Get that line over there. That's Joshua. But I would suspect that somewhere down the line, if he heard a phone call from Willie, he's telling him I'll be there in a minute. But he doesn't. See, but that's how we feel, because we feel when we're in the midst of our sickness, we're in the midst of our sorrow, when we're in the midst of being broke, we say, where is he? Where is God? This is part of what brings on depression, y'all. Where is God? But look what the psalmist said. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. God, the creator of all the ends of the earth, when you call, because understand, y'all know that this voice recognition technology, we're all enthralled with this stuff. I mean, we got people talking to their telephone, talking to their lamp, talking to their TV, talking to a glass of water. Glass of water? Call my wife. Speaker? Go get my kids out the park. We just love this stuff. And I'm guilty too, because I'd be talking to my car. Hey, can you do this? Okay. So we think voice recognition is so incredible that this car, that this Alexa, that this thing, whatever it is, could recognize your voice. You want to? I got something top that. God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, hears your voice. Your voice. And understand, your voice is just like your fingerprint. That's why they can use voice recognition. Can't nobody can imitate your voice and make your phone work. Because there's no voice like your voice. And you know why there's no voice like your voice? Because there's no God like our God. Amen. Amen. He thought of voice recognition long before AT&T came along, y'all. We tripping because AT&T done got something that God said, the psalmist said, when I cry, he gave ear unto me, little old nobody, me. This text is broken out into four stanzas. Wherever you see the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, like at the end of verse 3, verse 9, verse 14. No, excuse me, verse 15. That's a pause. So it's broken out into these four segments. I don't even have to outline it. It's right there. Selah, take a pause. Take a pause and think. So on our first stanza, let's talk about when trouble comes. Let's talk about when trouble comes. Verses 1 through 3. When trouble comes. Because I'm telling you, when you spend some time meditating on this verse, okay, we talk about how soldiers and people like that have post-traumatic stress syndrome. But listen to the term, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Don't they talk about women with postpartum? Same thing. See, that's the problem with psychobabble. Psychobabble makes something they always try to make it something, they make up words. Back when I was growing up, they called this the blues, okay? This is a bad case of the blues. And it'll get you. Blues will get you down. It's depressing. And the Bible doesn't ignore that people get depressed. But y'all, I'm looking at all these military people, and I'm looking at this. Everybody's being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I look in the scripture where it says, David says Saul killed thousands, and David killed tens of thousands. Understand, when these men went to war, they killed each other 2 feet apart. You know what I'm talking about? And I thank God for technology where I can push a button and ain't got to see him. I'm cool with that. Y'all may not be. I'm cool with that. I like technology. But understand, all of these soldiers, everybody's life that they took, they literally took it. So how did they deal with it? Maybe we could learn something from how did they deal with it? Because they couldn't just go get locked up somewhere and say, I can't function. They couldn't do that. So what did they do? Let's go to the Bible. Let's start with the Bible and let's stay with the Bible. Don't get halfway through the text and say, yeah, but. Verses 1 through 3. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. When trouble comes, verses 1 through 3. And by the way, it's coming. It is coming. Just as sure as the sun going to come up tomorrow, trouble comes. And that, as if that ain't bad enough, it's going to find you. Amen. Trouble comes. So here the psalmist, We don't know exactly what his situation was. We don't know exactly what really prompted this, but he's in a deep funk, y'all. He is depressed. And he goes, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I cried out to God. I cried out to God, and my sore ran in the night and ceased not. That is an old English term for I had my hands spread open to prove that I had no weapons. I just threw myself at God's mercy. That's it, all night long. I just threw myself at God's mercy. My soul, and I want you to take note. We're going to be talking about the soul, and we're going to also talk about the spirit. Two different things, y'all. The soul and the spirit. My soul refused to be comforted. Now, you're going to see, when you read that, now, I'm just reading it, and I'm saying, my soul refused, wait a minute, I called on the Lord, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God. I brought God into the equation and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Let's look at these steps to rock bottom. I refused. I was troubled. I complained. And I was ultimately overwhelmed. I refused. I was troubled. I complained, and ultimately I was overwhelmed with my situation. But where did it start? He said he called on God. But when God sent him words of comfort, what did he say? My soul rejected it. Why would my soul reject it? Because I think I got a better alternative than God. Why would I, I got a drug I can take. That'll get me up where I need to get to. Or I got some kind of immoral activity I can get to. That'll perk me up. Or I know I got another religion. Yeah, I'll go do some real religious stuff. That'll perk me up. But bottom line is, he said he called on God, and when God was willing, he cried. And when God was willing to take care of his situation, before he became overwhelmed, the first thing he did was he refused. He refused. He said, I don't need Jesus. I don't need any of that Bible-thumping, Bible-believing, what you voodoo. You know, that's for y'all. That's for you folks. That's for you weak folks. You weak folks, see. Y'all need a crutch. Well, I want y'all to know Jesus is my crutch. Amen. He my crutch. He my wheelchair. He's everything. He's everything, y'all. I can't do without him. But some folks think they can. And they'll boldly tell you, I don't need Jesus. I got this handled. And then you watch as they decline. And you've watched it in your own family. I watched it in my family. I watched people literally before my eyes just go, till finally they're at rock bottom. You turn your Bibles to Job. Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35, verses 9 and 10. And listen to this. This speaks to our text perfectly. Because I said, God is listening for your cry. But look what Job says in chapter 35, verse 9 and 10. Say amen when you get there. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. Verse 10, but none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night? You know, church, got a bunch of folks crying. Bunch of folks, this is too hard. It's too hard. I can't take it. I can't take it. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. No. Wait a minute. I heard about this thing called yoga.
I think I can do that a little bit better. That'll get me through this a little bit. Go ahead. It's like when God, I'm on a car I had not too long ago. I know I heard the Holy Spirit told me, it was a brand new car. And I know I heard the Holy Spirit told me to check the oil. It's a brand new car. Car's got 2,500 miles on it. Why would I check the oil? So I'm walking away from my car, and I'm walking to the house. He said, check the oil. The car's brand new. I ain't checking the oil on it. Okay, don't. See, that's what happens, y'all. God comes with his comfort. He comes with his word. He comes with his truth. And we say, I got this. Well, the rest of the story is, I'm getting in my old age, I'm getting a little bit. I said, okay, Lord, okay. Because when I hear that, okay, don't. I said, okay, I'm going to go check the oil. Brand new car. It's got like a quart of oil left in it. Brand new car. I go to the dealership, they go through a bunch of data. Bottom line is, my brand new car had a burnt valve. My brand new car. They never put the seal in it. And so this car went through 4 quarts of oil in 2,000 miles. But I'm telling you, God said, check the oil. I don't need to check the oil. It's a brand new car. You know what? God is speaking to some folks in here right now. He said, check it. Check yourself. Check yourself. You're headed down a path that you ought not want to go. You're heading down a path that's taking you away from listening to me. Check yourself. When trouble comes, I want y'all to know there's a way out, but you got these 4 steps down. You got this refusal to be comforted. You got the trouble, and it goes the trouble that comes. And then whenever you see somebody in depression and denial, that's another way of putting it, always complaining. Always complaining. Ain't nothing right. You just, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, nothing's right. And not only that, it's never my fault that nothing is right. Amen. And they just complain. Because they're going into themselves and they're going into a state of depression, y'all. And then until finally, he says, I complained and my spirit. We're going from the soul. The soul is, you know, that soul is that driving force, that natural man. I know you all sang about being a soul man. No. You don't want to be a soul man. You want to be a saint. You want to be a man whose soul has been quickened, his spirit has been quickened and brought into the kingdom of God. He says, my spirit, I was just overwhelmed. The depth of the depression, I was just overwhelmed. What do you do next with our next stanza? Verses 4-9. What do you do when you find yourself overwhelmed with this world? Overwhelmed with I'm sick. Overwhelmed with I'm broke. Overwhelmed with this marriage is killing me. These kids, you're overwhelmed with everything. I hate everything and everybody. What do you do? What do you do? I submit to you, the Bible has the answer for that. Turn to Psalm chapter 42, verse 11. Psalm chapter 42, verse 11. What do you do? Don't think the preacher gone crazy, but the Bible says talk to yourself. Yeah. Bible says have a little conversation with yourself. Don't nobody know you like you and God. Nobody know you like but you and God. Other people can talk to you, tell you stuff, but the Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Who's talking? I'm talking to myself. And that fact, not only am I talking to myself, it's my spirit talking to my soul. It's my spirit talking. Spirit saying, wait a minute, y'all, come on. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? We just talk about troubled,
complained, overwhelmed. And the Spirit says to the soul, hope thou in God. Do you really believe in God? Are you refusing the things of God? Do you really believe what you say you believe? Do you really believe that God is able? Do you really, is the Bible for you fact or fiction? Do you really believe what is being spoken when God says, I will take you when you drop dead, when you die? He said, you will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that I can deliver you from all circumstances? And if I don't deliver you from the circumstance, I'll carry you through it. Do you believe that? And that's what the Spirit is saying to the soul in chapter 42, Psalm 42, 11. He said, soul, he goes, do you really believe? Do you have hope in God? For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The Spirit say to the soul, you do your thing, I'm doing my thing. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to move on. I'm going to praise him. And this is what's going on here in verses 4 through 9. Look at what happens when he says, talking about have a talk with yourself. And understand this. This is a key point in when we're talking about this post-traumatic stress syndrome. And again, it hits all. It's not just soldiers, y'all. It's not just soldiers. I was just looking at one of our teachers here in the sanctuary, one of our teachers who just recently retired. You know, 30 years teaching in the public school, you have PTSD. I'm just telling y'all. I'm telling you. You do good to get out alive. Okay? So just came to me. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay. But understand this, church. No counselor, and this is why I'm telling you, there's a way out. When somebody is, unless they have chemically altered or fried their brains some way, shape, or, and even then I don't give up hope on them, because Jesus spoke to the man, the demoniac in the tombs, who nobody could control. Nobody could control this man. He tore the shackles. He broke the chains. And Jesus said, stop it. Come here. And he came running. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will get you. It will get you, church. So do you believe it or not? That's the key. Do you believe it or not? And so he's saying here, he's telling us, he says, have a talk with yourself. And I started to tell you, when you go for counseling, and the Bible encourages us to go to counseling, he goes, there's good stuff in the multitude of counselors. He said, you need counseling. We all need counseling. We need the word of God, but we need counseling as well. Counseling is a good thing. Biblical counseling. Don't give me no psychobabble, okay? Give me the word of God. Direct me with the word of God. Because nobody can make you do anything that you don't already know is true. See, because Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Okay, amen. Romans chapter 1 tells us that we are without excuse because we know. Amen. So when you go to counseling, and it's a good thing to go to counseling, when you go to counseling and the counselor say, sir, stop beating your wife. He already knew that. You can't tell me, no way, shape, or form, he did not know that. He did. But maybe the counselor can take him to a scripture, because that word of God will cut in. And that word of God will bring him under conviction. But he already knew it. Because you see up here in the beginning, up in our first, verse 2, where it says the word of God came to him, but he refused it. He refused it. So we go for counselors, but understand, counselor can't make you do anything that you don't acquiesce to. And that's why we go to biblical counseling, because the word of God will cut through. And nobody can say, when God tells you, young man, stop lying, you know it's wrong. Young lady, keep yourself to yourself. You knew it was wrong before you got to the counselor. You knew it. Don't take a gun to school. Who doesn't know that? Don't be trying to look for something deep. Don't walk into a restaurant and kill a bunch of people. Don't be saying, we're trying to figure out why he did it. He did it because his heart was evil and wicked. And the only thing that's going to change anybody, y'all, is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Stop tiptoeing, tap dancing around with psychobabble, being touchy-feely, touchy-feely, touchy. I was talking to a brother the other day, and I said, do you realize that if Job came for counseling to a church today, and Job came with all the, you know, my kids were killed, my cattle was wiped out, stock market crashed, everything, and to top it all off, I'm covered from head to toe with boils and sores, and I'm just look at me, I'm just a mess. And then you know how he kind of went off on God, and he started saying, you know, God, if you this and God this and God that. And see, if Job had come to a church today, here, any place, well, maybe not here, everybody be, oh, Job, God been so hard on you. Oh, Job, what can we do? Job, what can we do? Y'all see how God counseled him? Y'all know God counseled Job? When Job started accusing God of being unfair, God said, stand up like a man. Get up! Get up! Y'all, I love that text because he doesn't say that to women anywhere. Because the problem in our nation, the problem in this world, is we ain't got enough men who stand up. We be wanting y'all to rub our head. Come on, man. No! No! There's a mix-up somewhere. Let's go back to what God has to say. He says, talk with yourself. And when you cry out this time, cry out for God. Don't just cry out for the sake of crying out. Cry out for God. And when he does, he says, verse 6, I call, it, I'll start with verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Verse 4, thou holdest my, I thought when, you know, people say, well, I thought when I couldn't sleep at night, I thought that was the devil disrupting my rest. No. The psalmist says, God won't let you sleep. Because don't forget, sleep is a gift. Sleep is a gift. God won't let you sleep because he wants you to come and call on him. Yeah, but God, it's 2:00 in the morning. I'm not constrained by time. He wants you to get up out that bed and call on him. Amen. And look at the psalmist says, but you're holding my eyelids open. He says, yes, I am. I am. And I want you to get up out that bed and come talk to me. I got some stuff to talk to you about. And he goes, verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. Now he's starting to think back a little bit. God, because God got him up. God won't let him go to sleep. So you got to start thinking. I call to remembrance. What's this? It's so beautiful. My song in the night. I don't know about y'all, but from the time I was a little kid, you know, you always had little songs, little favorite songs that, you know, and y'all, I think y'all know by now. My favorite church song, the first one I learned was Jesus Loves Me. When we taught our kids, when our kids were growing up and they get scared at night and they get up and they come and mommy, 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 mommy. And she teaches them. She said, sing Jesus Loves Me. Song in the night, y'all. Song in the night. Do you know who gives you? God gives us a song in the night. If we'll get up out the bed. If we'll get up out the bed and come on. And he got something he got. He said, I want to say something to you. Husbands, I want to say something to you. Wives, I want to say something to you. Kids, teenagers, get up. I want to say something to you. Don't forget, kids, he called Samuel when he was real young. Samuel was real young. Samuel was so young, he didn't even know who was calling him. He said, who's calling me? And he went and he talked to Eli. He said, I'm hearing the voice. Eli said, what's the voice saying? He said, he won't talk to me. He said, well, go back there and ask him what he wants. Amen. Amen. It's a scary thing first time you hear God's voice and you know it's not your daddy or your mama. It's a scary thing. But he'll call you. If you start thinking about it, if you start meditating on him, he goes, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. Verse 42 in Psalm chapter 42, what we just read, he goes, my spirit is talking to my soul. I'm talking to myself now because me and myself got to get this stuff straightened out. I need a counselor. A counselor is going to help me, but it bottom line,
I got to change. I can't stay like this. I can't stay mad at the world. I can't stay mad at my wife. I can't stay mad at my kids. I can't stay mad. I can't live like this because I will be overwhelmed. I will be overwhelmed and I cannot function. And I've tried drugs. I've tried alcohol. I tried bad living. I tried this. And I tried other religions. I tried some everything. And I'm still overwhelmed because there ain't no God like our God. Amen. And he's just waiting to hear you cry. So here he is. He's thinking, he's communing with himself, and then he comes up with six hypothetical situations. I like to add this word because I want to use this word. I just want to use this word. Preposterous. Six preposterous things. What does the word preposterous mean? Completely contrary to nature. Something that can't possibly happen. But this is what he starts thinking about while he's sitting there as God is keeping his eyes open. And he's sitting there and he goes, in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? And this is the one that gets so many people, y'all. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? People in a state of depression always think, not only have men forgotten me, but God has forgotten that I even exist. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. He asked those six hypotheticals, those six preposterous questions. And while he's there, all he's got to do is open up his Bible to Psalm 100, verse 5. And God says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is how long? Everlasting. And his truth endureth how long? And it goes to who? All generations. See, he came. That's why I told you they were preposterous. Because the Bible says God changes not. So when he says my truth is there, my love is there, my grace is there, it's there for you. It's there for you to access. But when you cry unto the Lord, you need to be seeking the Lord. And when he responds to you, don't refuse him, church. Don't refuse him. It's like, folks, before you get saved, before you believed in the name of Jesus Christ, do you remember there was times you'd go to church and, you know, like maybe a friend would invite you to church or your parents took you to church, but you were there and I don't know about y'all, but I spent several Sundays debating whether or not to get up and walk down that aisle. See, because I was scared. There were a bunch of people out there. I didn't know all them people. And I would sit up I'd go sit in the balcony and I'd try to get away from the pastor. And he'd just be preaching. And the Holy Spirit just be, come on. And I'm looking around to see if anybody else is going to go. And my feet won't stand still. I don't want to go, but I think I got to go. And I think, and then I just ran down the aisle. When he started talking about hell, I was through. You could say I was toast, but I didn't want to be toast. But I'm just telling y'all, people wrestle with this stuff, y'all. And that's why we give them, he is wrestling with what he already knows. Just like I told you, when the husband go and he know he been doing wrong and the wife knows, she knows she been doing wrong. He knows that God will not cast off forever. He knows that God, he will always keep his favor. He knows that God's mercy is forever. He knows these things, but he's trying to find a way out.
He's trying to find an excuse and a reason not to humble himself before the mighty hand of God. And then he even admits it here after we have that verse 9 where it says Selah. Then he admits it here. He says in verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. He said, you know all that stuff I just finished talking about? That was the weakness of my flesh. That was the weakness of my depression speaking. That was the weakness of me just hurting. I knew none of that stuff was true about God. I know that. But in my flesh, I just thought maybe I'd say it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians. He tells you, because that was my infirmity. And when we look over 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it reads, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When we finally yield to the word of God, when we finally say, yes, Lord, though we're taking a beat down, though this depression has got you, when you finally cry out to the Lord, and not just cry out, but you cry out to the Lord, when you finally do it, he goes, that's when you finally gain some strength, y'all. That's when you finally gain some strength. The big turnaround, verses 10 through 15, verses 10 through 15. And I said this in my infirmity. Here you're going to see four steps to coming up out the gutter. I gave you four how to get to rock bottom. I'm going to give you four how to get back up where you're supposed to be. Starts off with, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember thy wonders of old. And I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You want to know how to get out of depression? You want to know how to get away from post-traumatic stress syndrome, whatever caused it? It could have been you having a child. It could have been you having a car wreck. It could you being sick. It could be any number of things, but it's just trauma in your life that has you paralyzed. It's got you paralyzed. Don't overlook what he says about meditate. Also, meditate also of all thy work. I went to go get my hearing aids fixed. Now, I'm just in a regular doctor's office. And why did they subject me to this video loop of everybody sitting around in a circle talking about, and they're saying to everybody, this stuff is so pervasive. This stuff is so pervasive. Everybody, this is coming out of the doctor's office. You know, you need to spend some time meditating, and it will help control your blood pressure, and it will help you to float through life more freely. But meditate on what? What am I going to meditate on, y'all? What they're telling, and since everybody's sitting there in a circle with their legs crossed and their hands talking about, I came to the conclusion they were talking about yoga. Because I know that's what they're talking about, yoga. That's what they, everything on TV, get some yoga. Go to the YMCA, yoga. Go to the hotel. We got yoga classes. Go to the school. We got yoga. Go to the churches. Yeah. Go to the churches. We got yoga classes. What in heaven's name is a yoga class, which is a Hindu religion, doing in a Christian church? Next time y'all go to class, ask your teacher. It's their church. But God says meditation is good. Devil always, always counterfeits God's stuff. God said meditate, but he says meditate on me. When they give you that yoga meditation, they say, here, pick a word, your mantra. Pick a word, just any word, and just hum. A word that's special to you. Kind of like when you go to AA. Pick your own God. Oh, yeah, that works out real good. Church.
there's a truth. And if we don't deal with the truth, we always come up with a counterfeit something somewhere down the road. And he says, meditate also on thy, I will. The psalmist says, I will remember. I will remember. I will remember and I will meditate. I'm going to think back on everything I heard about God and all the goodness of God. I'm going to look at the sky and I'm going to say, the heavens declare his glory. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to meditate on that. Because when I'm meditating on that, I can't be meditating on what's making me depressed, y'all. If I'm thinking about the good things that God has done and is doing in my life, I cannot wallow in my depression. And this depression is real. I'm not beating anybody up for this depression. But what I'm telling you is, let them know there's a way out. There is a way out. Because the alternative is you are stuck in this conundrum for the rest of your life. And you don't know how long you have to live. So either you're going to get about getting healed or you're going to be stuck in it. And I'm submitting to y'all, the Bible says there is a way out. He says, when you cry unto the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, when you cry unto God, he will give ear to you. The big turnaround. We talked about when trouble comes. Talk about, have a little talk with yourself. Talk about the big turnaround, the turnaround. Last thing, just want to let you know, verses 15 through 20, the witness remains the same. But first, let me get verse 13. Let me get verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? When you meditate, when you spend time thinking about God, and when he says in the sanctuary, he's talking about the holy place, y'all. Don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. Because when you come together, the sanctuary could be any place that you set aside to serve God. But when we talk about the sanctuary, we also talk about where all God's saints come together, y'all. Don't neglect the coming together of the saints, because we come together to encourage one another, y'all. When you're depressed and you're down, you know the first thing that Christians do when they get depressed and down? Stay home. It's the first thing they do. And it's the last thing the Bible tells you to do. God said when you hurt. I learned, Pastor Robinson would just tell me when he was getting up in age, if where I used to serve at, he was getting up well up in age, and he just hurt. Every time he came to church, he just hurt. And I said, Pops, why don't you stay home? He said, I'm going to hurt even if I'm at home. Might as well come someplace where I love, where I'm going to be happy. If you're going to hurt, just come on. We'll make accommodations for you. Come on. But come and join together. You never know when you're going to be an encouragement, and you never know when somebody else is going to be an encouragement to you. You don't know. But you come because he says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Ooh, such a good God. Last part. The witness remains the same. Verses 15 through 20. The witness remains the same. The psalmist has gone through this. He's gone from being totally overwhelmed to now his mind is stayed and focused on the things of God. And one thing that he does here, and I'm going to add here, I say the witness remains the same. And I say this, we have to decide if it's fact or fiction. I preached that a few weeks ago. The psalmist, what he does is he relays to us, verses 15 through 20, the story of the Exodus, the account of how the children of Israel had been in captivity for 400 years. 400 years they had been in captivity. And the Bible says that they cry unto the Lord. I don't know if they spent the first 399 years trying to figure another way out. I don't know. But at the end of 400 years, the Bible said God answered their prayers. He sent Moses and Aaron to pull his people out. And the psalmist here is telling you I'm thinking about the things of old. I'm thinking about the ancient days. I'm thinking about how God took his people and he pulled them up out of Egypt and he walked them right to the banks of the Red Sea. And they had mountains on one side of them, a hostile city on the other side, the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army behind them. And they did not get there by accident. God marched them right to that point. Understand, some of y'all might be in depression right now. You might be on the verge of saying, oh, man, I just can't take it anymore. But understand, it just may have been God who marched you into this situation to see what you're going to do. Who are you going to call? Are you going to do like old boy did here in the second verse? I'm just going to refuse it because I think I got a better way. I think, you know what, I read a book that told me if I just do this and do that, I can get through this. God has got you right at the Red Sea. And that's what this psalmist is saying. He says, I'm remembering that because I remember how it came out, y'all. I remembered where the word said that you came down, God, and that you came down. And the poetry is so beautiful here. He says, we read about when Moses took his rod, stuck it out, and bam, walked across on dry land. But look at the beauty of the words here in this particular text. The psalmist says in verse 16, here God's people were cornered, trapped, absolutely trapped. And he says, and the waters saw you, God. It didn't say that the waters saw Moses. See, we know Moses stuck his rod out and the waters retreated. But the psalmist said, no, the waters saw God. The waters saw God and tried to get away. They saw an angry God and they tried to get away. They saw a God who was coming to rescue his children because they were crying out. Just like when a woman has a child and that child in the room and the child's like, a stranger would say, oh, the baby's crying. And then the baby, and the stranger would say, oh, you know. But then when the baby go, the mama go running. Woo, because she know his cry. She said, that first two was fake. Something wrong with my baby. God showed up. The Red Sea saw God, and it tried to run in different directions. And the Bible says, look what it says. It says here, the clouds poured out the water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. Thunder, lightning, the voice of the thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth shook and trembled. The earth trembled and shook. Verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Wait a minute. Look, he says, God walks in the sea. He says, this is another way of saying God's paths are unsearchable. You can't find out how he does what he does. He said, look for my footsteps in the ocean. Amen. He said, you cannot find out what I do, but what you can learn to do is trust me. What you can learn to do is cry out. And what we have to learn to do is figure out, is this word, is this truth fact or is it fiction? Did God really preserve his people? After 400 years, did he really preserve them in the midst of imminent danger? Did he really preserve them? In what would be called the second greatest deliverance of all times. When he had them put the blood over the doorposts in the Passover, when he crossed the water on dry land, that is the second greatest deliverance of all times. The greatest deliverance of all times is how God delivered everybody in here from sin. The greatest deliverance of all time was when Jesus Christ walked up Calvary's hill and they hung him on the cross
And then they took him. They took his dead body down and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Now, why was this so incredible? Crossing the Red Sea was big, y'all. On dry land, that was big. But when we preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we preach about Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Sunday he got up with all power in heaven and earth. But what we neglect is that there was two long days and two long nights where they sure that he's going to get up? Or had he just died like everybody else? When you meditate, understand, even though there was two long days and two lonely, long nights, because the word of God said it was so, Sunday morning, he got up. Now, they couldn't see it, y'all. Those disciples couldn't see that. But Sunday morning, he got up. Right now, you're in the midst of a funk. You got friends and relatives suffering from this post-traumatic stress. You got family members. They're deep, deep, deep in depression. But I want you to go back and tell them. I want you to go back and tell them. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy gonna come in the morning. And all you have to do is cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. And he will. Not because I think he will. I know from the word of God. He will give ear unto your cry. God bless you.